Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Believe in NBA Prospects here on the Believe Podcast Network. I am Josh Rodriguez. I am here with Quab, a.k.a. YES, baby. I don't care. That's what I'm calling you, okay? Is that okay, Quab?
Crazy. You could call me. You can call me that. That works.
You're
probably the only one that can call me that right now.
I'm probably the only one who can call you that. Listen, we are new host on this feed. I know that you guys had different hosts before, but you know what? We're taking over the show for the 2019-2020 college basketball NBA season. We're going to tell you all about what prospects are coming up into the NBA, I guess, for the 2020 draft. Listen, if you enjoy this show, please subscribe and rate on iTunes. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, all these other platforms, so there's no excuse not to be listening to Believe in NBA Prospects. You can follow all shows on the Believe Podcast Network at Believe Podcast. That's B-L-E-A-V. I'm Josh Rodriguez at Josh underscore Rodriguez underscore. Quab, where are you?
I'm Quab at Quab, K-W-A-B, A-K-A, Y-E-S.
Yeah, and you'll learn more about us, but in the meantime, let's get straight into this. Quab and I are going to be talking about, I guess, schools that aren't really known for recruiting. You know, you have your one-and-done programs such as Kentucky, now Duke. When you think top NBA prospects, I think those are the schools you think of first. Quab, am I wrong about that? Yeah. I mean, that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Especially like Kentucky became the one-and-done school with all the incoming recruits. And now Duke has kind of taken that over. But we're kind of going to focus on a couple other schools that don't really have that, I guess, that label as of right now. But they still have probably some of the top prospects coming in.
Top prospects coming in, looking to change their programs. I mean, we'll just tell you up front there. Georgia, Memphis, and then the Washington Huskies. I mean, these are three programs. Georgia's out of the SEC. Memphis is in the AAC. And then Washington is in the Pac-12 now. I mean, none of these programs. I mean, you had Markelle Fultz come out of Washington. They produce, I guess, an NBA player or two every year, but no one who really stands out. Georgia in particular, I can't really think of anybody except for like Caldwell Pope, right?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And Memphis, I mean, Memphis hasn't been relevant since Derrick Rose, so we're definitely talking new programs here. Let's get right into it. Anthony Edwards, Quab, he's projected to go first in a lot of different mock drafts that I've seen. I know you've seen a lot of footage of him. What is he like? Why is he projected to go first? I mean, there's a lot of different players that I've seen highlight footage of, and he's impressive. I'm not sure if he's that impressive where he's going to go number one in my mind, but what do you think about him, and do you think he should go number one?
I mean, I think it depends on – a lot of it depends on what team gets the number one pick, but he's a 6'5 scoring guard, and he is built like a bull, but he's also very athletic. I'll say this. Talking to – I think it was two summers ago, I was talking to a high school scout, one of the top high schools. You actually know who it is. I'm not going to mention his name though, but he was watching.
Oh, we can't do that. We can't mention names.
I can't reveal my source.
Sources anonymous.
Sources anonymous. I don't want to reveal my sources, but
okay.
He was actually scouting. I think the game beforehand and just sat there and watched his team play. And I think he told me he watched him in warmups and watched him for 2 minutes and was like, that kid's a pro.
Right
off, he was like, that kid's a pro. And he makes the game look easy, especially somebody's at his age and like at his size. It seems to come naturally to him. Actually, he can score from the 3-point range and he attacks the rim ferociously.
Now, what about his court vision?
I think he has a good court feel. Like, he makes the right passes out of double teams. Gets his teammates involved. A lot of times when I watch him, like, he's able to play the point guard. It's kind of like he's similar to a Donovan Mitchell in the sense.
Okay, so he's not a point guard. He's more of a shooting guard.
Yeah, he's more of a shooting guard. Like, he can play the point guard if needed be, but he's more because okay. he's such a scorer. Like, he plays it too most of the time. He's a walking bucket basically. So I mean, okay. He's gonna receive a lot of attention at Georgia.
You think he's by far the number one pick, though? Do you think that can change? I mean, we're going to go throughout the whole college basketball season, so I assume you and I are going to have power rankings. If we were to have power rankings of these prospects, where would he be in your mind?
He's a top three.
Top three.
I think he's a top.
Not your number one?
I mean, not like right off the bat. You have to see how he responds to, I guess, conference play. Like
right.
In the SEC, when he's going against like a Kentucky, a Florida, just see how like he reacts when he's on the scouting report, when teams are keyed in on you. Like how's that gonna play out to him? But he is by far the best guard in this upcoming draft.
By like, far, really.
It feels like it really feels like he just turned 18.
Right. You're talking shooting guard or guard? Like guard period.
I guess I'm just saying guard.
Really? Guard. So like Cassius Stanley and. We'll get into Boogie Ellis later. All those type of guys, you would take.
I mean, you're gonna like, for example, like let's say I'll say this, like maybe if you're a team and you're looking for a point guard,
yeah,
you might look at what is it,
Cole Anthony,
or even like a LaMelo Ball,
right?
I think we'll probably do a segment, a segment where we talk about point guards. You know, I'm definitely because you know we love our point guard. So
yeah, just disclaimer here: I am a pass first point guard by nature. Not saying that I'm an NBA prospect or that I'm even close to that. But when I step onto a pickup basketball court, that's what I do. So I gravitate to those type of players.
It's like that,
I
can't that's, wait that's for that your episode. Game.
That was just a disclaimer. I had to get it out.
That's fine. I mean, that's your game. That's and you are one of the best. Passing guards I've ever played with, hands down.
Stop it.
Those are facts. So I know you gravitate towards those type of players.
No, I do. I do, though. You're right. I mean, the first thing I look at when I watch film, and I watched Anthony Edwards' film, and for me, it's like, this is so weird. So I'll look at the shot clock on the other side of the court and see, like, when are you taking shots? So if you're taking shots early in the possession, it's a turnoff for me. If you're taking contested threes early in the shots, in the shot clock, it's a turnoff for me. And so I see that a lot in these younger prospects where they'll just come down and jack threes or they'll shoot threes. And I saw a little bit about Anthony Edwards, but it looked too easy for him.
That's what I mean? I'm saying.
So it's like, you know what? He might be taking these shots and it might be bad decisions, but at the same time, it's like he's really freaking good. It just looks like he's on another level.
That's the case with him. Like, I remember there was one game. I don't know what the situation was, but he didn't play the first half of the game. Either like a suspension or something, either the first half or the first quarter. But he checked in and had like 30 points. Like he reeled it off like it was nothing. I'm like, you're different. Like you can tell. Yeah, it's too easy. Like the game comes, he's different. Like he's aggressive and he competes. That's the one thing. Like he doesn't slack when he plays. He competes hard. So.
All right. And Tom Crean, by the way, I mean, he went from, where did he start? I know he was at Marquette. He was at Marquette, then he went to Indiana, now he's at Georgia. I didn't look at Tom Crean as like this massive recruiter, but apparently he knows what he's doing.
I mean, he had Dwayne Wade, and you look at Indiana, he had Oladipo, he had Zeller. Did Eric Gordon have Eric Gordon? See, this is like a lot of people were like, oh wow, the kid is from Georgia, but like Tom Crean, he could have easily sold him on it. It was like, look, I coached Dwayne Wade. I coached Victor Oladipo. Like, this is who some people are comparing you to Wade. Like, I can help you get to the league easily.
He has a track record, so I just never looked at Tom Crean like that. He always seemed kind of doofy to me and just and there in the way. But speaking of recruiter, I mean, Penny Hardaway now is the coach of Memphis, and he's bringing talent with him. I guess his name and his aura and everything that goes along with the name Penny Hardaway has gotten some attention of these younger prospects, which actually kind of surprises me because I wasn't sure if they would know who he was. Not saying that, you know, he isn't an all-time great or could have been an all-time great if he stayed healthy, but it's surprising to me that this generation actually respects him enough to be like, you know what, that's where I want to play basketball, over Kentucky, over Duke, over the UCLAs, over these traditional powerhouses. Are you surprised that Penny Hardaway has this incoming draft class?
Not really, just because, I mean, he's known in Memphis.
So he's like a hometown hero.
Yeah, and also, like, I think it makes a difference if a 6'7" guard walks into your living room. It's like, yeah, I want you to play for me. And if your kid like, oh, I don't know who this is, and like, oh, here's go on YouTube, look me up. And if you look at his highlights, he was a bad man back in the day. You know this. So if a kid is looking at that, it's like, oh, okay, he could possibly get me. He could get me to the league. And he's come out and said, I want to get my kids to the NBA. They put out, I know a couple of times, they put out workout videos for them during the preseason. And it's like, it would be like him and Mike Miller, also a former NBA player.
Yeah, now Mike Miller's an Penny Hardaway
assistant
Mike.
Coach.
That's so yeah. funny.
Yeah. And they're playing against the kids. Also, he's no longer a coach there, but one of the other assistant coaches was Sam Mitchell. But he was on. So they basically have like, hey, we have like people that have been in the NBA. Like, this is, we know this is where you want to go.
What makes Memphis stand out though? Like, to me, it's like, they're in a, I guess, mid-level conference. Would you call the AAC that? I don't really think that they are particularly in a conference where I would like, you know what, I got to go play there if I want to make the league. Like, what else is it, though? Is it just the name?
I guess. I don't, I mean, they're trying to build something from the, they're starting to build something where, like, Memphis still, even though, like, they haven't been known for a while, they still have a history. So, with Penny, then with Derrick Rose, like,
that's true.
So,
yeah, every once in a while they pop up on you.
Exactly. Like they're still, and I mean, if they're the, what is it, the hometown school?
Right.
And you got the hometown school, and you're like, look, we can, you're telling kids, yo, we can win a national championship. We can get you to the league. Like, what else do you really need?
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they brought in a really nice class. I mean, starting with James Wiseman, he's a 7'1" freshman. Some say the number one player in his class. To me, he just looked like a gazelle. Long, lanky, dunking on everybody.
Freak athlete.
He didn't really seem too selfish. I mean, he seemed really good defensively. Very high on a lot of mock drafts. The one that I was referring to before, he's number 2. So is he in your top 3 like Anthony Edwards? What do you think of James Wiseman?
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely in the top. Like, he could possibly go number 1. Also, he's the other one that's like, it's either, a lot of people are saying it's either going to be him or Anthony Edwards. Like you said, 7'1", runs the floor like a gazelle, actually has shown like he has range out to the 3-point line, but he doesn't stay out there. He plays tough inside, has touch.
That's good. I would prefer that in my big men, to be honest with you, than to shoot threes all the damn time.
Yeah, because that's what's becoming like the norm right now. It's like, if you're a big man, you have to be able to shoot a three. So like a lot of players are like drifting out. He's capable of hitting threes, like off the dribble, can handle the ball, but he is tough inside. Like, he could be the number 1 pick also.
Talk to me about Precious Achiuwa. He's 6'9". Now, I watched a video of him, and he was just like windmill dunking, fast break dunks. I really didn't see much of him in the half court set, so I'd be interested to see what he looks like, you know, when the game is slowed down, and what NBA prospects think of him. What are scouts saying about Precious?
What I've heard about him, like you said, in an open floor, he's a beast. Like, he can grab a rebound and just kind of just go, like, just dunk on. Like, he's very athletic. Very high motor in a sense. He's not that efficient in the half court. Like, that's probably why you don't see a lot of videos of him in the half court. Like, he has improved his jumper. Like, he's able to hit mid-range shots and 3-pointers, but it's not very consistent right now. He makes up his mind what shot he's gonna take before he takes it, if you know what I mean. Like, you could tell, like,
that.
Exactly. Like, he catches you, like, oh, he's about to pull up, like, regardless of the defense. Like, I think the McDonald's All-American game, he had like, he shot like 23, some like a ridiculous amount of shots. Like, I was like, yo, that's really not your game. Like, his future in the NBA is probably going to be like, depending on if he improves his 3-point, like a 3-and-D player. Like, he can really guard anybody at his height. He reminds me
not anymore, because his game has evolved, but back when Zach LaVine was in college, like, I remember Zach LaVine just being like this open floor runner who would just windmill dunk on you. He'll hit the three, but really didn't have much else to his game. I don't know why. That maybe his body type, his speed, his athleticism, but he reminded me of a Zach LaVine at UCLA, not so much a Zach LaVine that we see now with the Bulls.
I could, like, athletically, yeah, I could see that very, very much so. Like, very, very athletic, like, just head of the rim type dunks with ease. Right. I think Zach was more of a consistent shooter, though, like, at UCLA, from what I remember. Like, he could.
Yeah, Zach could hit the three. But he was either three or nothing, though. And defending, I don't know if he was, like, that good of a defender. I don't remember too far back in his UCLA days, but I remember it was either dunk or a three for Zach. Precious to me. I mean, I can't tell right now. Like I said, I haven't seen enough of him in the half court. But from what I've seen, it's just been like fast break dunk, fast break dunk, fast break dunk, cut to the basket, dunk. I haven't really seen that skill set where I'm like, you know, if I'm an NBA team, I'd be kind of weary picking him, especially if I'm a lottery pick. I know he has the height and the athleticism. It's all there. The physical attributes are there. But if I'm a scout, I'm looking at that. I'm like, I got to see more from you.
Yeah. So, I mean, this UC, like, depending on how the season goes for him, he probably has his mind made up to be a one and done also.
Yeah.
I just think, like, if he would, like, most kids that get picked, he would benefit from getting into the right program and the right system. That's like, okay, we're going to develop you. This is what you need to work on. This is what you need to get better at when he gets to the league. I think he's gifted athletically, obviously. You can't teach that at this point. So, like, everything else, it can be improved on, so.
Okay. And then the other freshman coming into this class is 6'2" freshman, I guess, point guard Boogie Ellis. He's really quick. He can shoot the basketball. He seems very tough, can get his own bucket anytime he wants. His handles looks pretty crazy, to be honest with you. Seems like, I think out of all the guards that I've watched, I think he probably has the best handle that I've seen. Would you agree to that or no?
I think he's up there.
Okay.
He's definitely up there. Yeah.
But he's going to Memphis. I think he was committed to Duke earlier, but Trey Jones decided to come back for his sophomore season. And so now he's going to Memphis. So Memphis with another dope recruit. What do you think of Boogie?
Boogie's tough. Boogie, like you said, everything you said is exactly on point. Like, quick handles, can shoot, can score, can pass. So, I mean, that's another big get for Memphis. Like, when Memphis's recruiting class was coming in, I remember I was just like, wow, they got him. Wow, they got him. Wow. Like, it was just one after the other. So, and Boogie's just another addition. He's like with him, James, and Precious, like, they have a really athletic team. I'm interested to see how he plays with all this other talent, because even with those three, they still have a bunch of other kids that are very, very talented on that roster.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I mean, this is just highlight film. I'm looking at Memphis, and I'm like, I don't know how they're going to mesh. It really, if I'm a Memphis basketball fan, I know we're a prospect show, but just talking about wins and losses when it comes to Memphis basketball, I don't know how they're going to mesh. You have a new head coach in Penny Hardaway, assistant coach Mike Miller. They really don't have too much experience coaching kids, from what I know. I think Penny did AAU, right? And then he did
Penny
high school.
He did high school, then AAU, so then he did last year in Memphis. So
yeah, so for me, it's like, okay, well, he has some sort of experience with younger kids, and maybe that's why they're coming to his program. But at the same time, and this is college basketball, you're going to be going against the big boys if you have these top recruits. So I really, as good as these prospects are for Memphis, I'm really looking forward to them. I don't mean looking forward to as in like looking forward to as I'm happy, but just I think they're going to struggle. I think they're going to have a hard time getting going. I really do. I think they'll be fine in conference play because they'll be just so much more talented than everyone else in their conference. But when it comes to like playing teams in the ACC or even like a Kentucky, they might be talented, but it just seems like these talents don't really mesh. Does that make sense to you? Or am I wrong about that? What do you think?
I don't want to predict anything until I see like a couple of games. They're probably, in my mind, they're probably going to try and play fast with all that. With all these kids that are so athletic and can run the floor, they probably want to pressure the ball and just run and get out. And that's probably might be the best way for them. Like, I completely understand what you're saying. Like, you don't know how you're going to all come together and mesh, but I mean, that's the coach's job. So we'll see.
All right, so let's move on to the final team that we'll be talking about, and that's Washington, the Washington Huskies. Now, Markelle Fultz came out as the number one pick. And that was not a good look.
It's still to be decided, so we'll see.
No, I don't know if that's still be I'm giving up on him.
I'm holding out hope.
Who they have last year, Quad? What was the guy's name again? Matisse?
Matisse Thybulle.
I think Thybulle. He was, I liked him a lot last year.
Yeah, he was a beast defensively. So, and I think he got drafted by the Sixers also. The Sixers love Huskies, man.
They do love Huskies. They definitely do. But now they're back. They have, was it two or three? They have three top prospects, which is interesting. The Pac-12 is a good conference. I wouldn't say it's one of the best conferences, but it is a good conference. They usually field five, maybe six teams in the NCAA tournament each year. So, you know, I wonder how Washington's going to do. Let's start with the first prospect. That's Isaiah Stewart, 6'9 freshman. What do you think of him?
Just a beast. Big man. Dunks everything. He's more like, reminds me of Derek Favors, kind of big man. Just catching a post will try to dunk on you. Kind of improved his shot a little bit, like his mid-range shot, but he's tough to handle inside.
So where do you think he ranks in your mock draft, in Quab's mock draft?
In my mock draft? Early on, right now, because it's so early, it's a possible top five, top 10 player. Him and the other incoming freshman, Jaden McDaniels, they're both seen as like really hot. They're both seen as lottery picks, so.
All right, so Jaden McDaniels, let's talk about him. 6'11", he plays the wing?
I mean, he plays the wing?
Well, here's the thing. I see footage of him, and a lot of it is some fast break stuff, but I mean, his team seemed to be playing against, I guess, inferior competition. So a lot of the stuff is him going to the basket. But I did see footage of him hitting tough shots, mid-range shots, even three-pointers contested. He seems like he's really talented. This is one of the players who's I watch footage of, and I'm like, you know what? He's a basketball player. A lot of these players are just athletes, but Jaden to me is a basketball player. So I'm actually pretty excited about him.
Yeah, he's tough. I think He can play the wing. He'll play the wing. He'll probably play inside. He'll play like maybe the power forward and a small forward position. Like he's 6'11". Like you said, has a jumper. Like he's knocked down. He can shoot. He can get to his own like whatever spot he wants and get his own shot. His only problem I see is that he kind of gets lost sometimes. Like he's cool just like being on the court. There's times where he's not dominant as he could be at his height and his skill level.
Right. And what about their last prospect, Quade Green, a 6-foot point guard? He transferred from Kentucky. I didn't see much of him. To be honest with you, I don't remember much about him, but he's a former McDonald's All-American. What do you think is his ceiling? Do you think he's going to be a lottery pick? Do you think he's going to be in the first round? Is he a legitimate prospect?
I think he's more like he could be more of like a second-round pick. I think we put him on this list because of being around with this team that this Washington team, you having this much talent, you're going to need a point guard. You're going to need somebody that can set up the rest of the team and still be able to knock down jumpers. Like he's a consistent shooter, very in control guard. When he was at Kentucky, his freshman year, he played a big, I think he averaged like around 7 points or so. But with Kentucky, you know, if you're not one and done, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming for you. Like they're always bringing in 5-star recruits, right after the other. So he only played, I think, 7 games his sophomore season, and then he ended up transferring.
But you think he's like a second round pick type? To be honest with you, I watched him Kentucky basketball last year. I don't remember him.
Yeah, he played early. He barely played early on. I think he could be. Yeah, he could be like in the sense where like comparable to maybe like Fred VanVleet. You know what I mean? Like a shorter guard who can get you buckets, can still set up the offense. Like he's still talented. He's still skilled. So being on this team and you have two and your front line is Isaiah Stewart, who might go top 10, and Jaden McDaniel. You're going to need a point guard, and him coming in as a transfer could work in his favor because you're going to have so many scouts coming in, so many NBA scouts coming in, watching because they want to see these two big prospects. So if you go out and do your job, you have a chance of getting drafted.
All right. Well, that pretty much does it. I mean, we just wanted to go over, you know, these schools that aren't traditional powerhouses. Do you think these teams are going to be right, Quab? That's the thing. When it comes to college basketball, it's so weird. You're going to have your Dukes. You're going to have your Kentuckys. You're going to have those teams in the front end. But, you know, your Memphis, your Georgia, your Washington, they're not traditionally ranked that high.
Memphis is going to be ranked high. Washington is going to be ranked. Because Washington's coming off like a really good season last season also. So with addition of them two, I see Georgia probably, apart from Anthony Edwards, I don't really know who they have. I think a couple like 4-star recruits they brought in. I don't really know who else they really have on the roster that's going to stand out, but they should still be ranked. They still should be one of the top teams in college basketball.
All right, well, we're just getting started. We wanted to give you some prospects that we'll be talking about once the college basketball season gets underway, so you know their names, so you know their games, where they play, and all that good stuff. Next episode, we'll be going over some more traditional powerhouses such as Duke, UNC, and Kentucky. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe. Rate it on iTunes. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, a lot of different podcast platforms. You can follow the Believe Podcast Network at Believe Podcast. This is Believe in NBA Prospects. I'm Josh Rodriguez at Josh_Rodriguez_Quab. Where can people find you?
I'm Quab at Quab, a.k.a. Y-E-S.
And we'll see you next week for our next episode.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for B-L-E-A-V on YouTube.